Thank you, brother. It is a joy for me to be here with you, and I too am so privileged to be able to know godly pastors as you have here at Meadowlands. Pastor Jim was my really first shepherd that I had in my life. Very, very godly man, loved the word, loves people. And just he's been a mentor of mine. For those of you that don't know me, my wife Michelle is going to be here at the 11 o'clock service. And we started attending Meadowlands in 1998. And then we had left in 2005 to go to Lighthouse and help out in the ministry there. And it's been a real honor and privilege seeing the Lord working here at Meadowlands, but also up in the north end of the city as well. And all the churches that are representing out of Meadowlands. We had a day of prayer at our church, and I put up on the screen just all of the websites. And I started with Meadowlands, and then Meadowlands with Lighthouse, and then Lighthouse, or then Meadowlands with Foundation, and then Meadowlands with North Lights, and then Meadowlands with Beaumont. And it's been just exciting to see how God has been using the ministry here, not only for the ministry and the people here, but also that's touching the lives around Alberta and also around the world with the missionaries and that as well. So, it's a privilege to be here this morning. And my wife will be here, but she's coming with the days, and she's going to be coming with them for the 11 o'clock service. All right, if you want to turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. As a redeemed people, once God saves us, then we need to be working on our progressive sanctification. And on Friday nights, we have a ministry that disciples people to overcome sin that's in their lives, to become more like Jesus Christ. And we need to be winning life's battles through Jesus Christ. And our reliance has to be on Him and the Word of God to grow to be more like Christ. God will use His Word and His Spirit to cause us to be more like Jesus. And this morning, I want to take a look in the book of John chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at just a few verses 31 to 35, if you are turned there. Verse 31, the Word of God says, "So when he had gone out, Jesus... Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will see me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Let's just pray. Abba Father, Lord God, your love towards us is so overwhelming. Father, we can't even fully comprehend it. The more we grow, the more we understand your word, the more, Father, as we are more aware of who you are and what you have done for us, even in our own salvation, Father, it's staggering to think that you would choose to love people like us. Father, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would truly use your word and your spirit this morning, Father, to remind us of you and who we are in Christ, and that our sanctification isn't based on our efforts, but it's based on our faith in you, for you to change us to be more like Jesus. Help us, Father, to be diligent and to be consistent and to be faithful in reading and studying and praying and serving you so that we can get to know you more. Father, I know as we get to know you more, we feel so thrilled, Father, to be used of you. I pray for my brothers and sisters that are here this morning. I pray for any that may be here this morning that are not saved, they're not followers of Jesus Christ, they're not born again believers. I pray that you would minister to their hearts and draw them to yourself, Father, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, as Christians, you might think, especially when we're saved for a little bit longer, we kind of think we're doing kind of okay with sin. So we're almost have this attitude that I'm actually handling sin okay. We think we're handling sin okay until we go to the scriptures and then God reveals to us what sin really is. And then it kind of shocks us and we realize, oh, boy, I thought I was doing so well, but I have just, there's so much more I need to grow and to be more like Christ. Proverbs 6, you don't need to turn there, but God tells us what sin is. There are seven things that God says that is sinful. One is someone who is arrogant, who is very prideful and self-seeking. And when I read that right away, I feel convicted right away because there's things in my life that I know is prideful. There's some things in my life that there's a little arrogance that's there. In fact, I was just humbled yesterday. I was out in the morning. I came home and I said to my wife, I said, oh, you know, people just don't know how to drive. And the first snow, it's you think after years of this, people would understand how to do this. And but they just don't understand. And so then I went out in the afternoon. After lunch, I went out. And as I was going out, I was coming around a corner and it started sliding and bang, I hit right onto the curb. And I was just like, oh. I'm one of those people that someone was probably driving by and seen me kind of bumping like this. And someone went, people, they don't understand how to drive. How long have they been driving in the wintertime? So oftentimes God reveals to me there's just a pride in me and an arrogance that I can be so critical of other people. And rather than being humble like Jesus was so humble. And second sin that God mentions here that he hates is lies. And I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't go, how to say, these big outright lies, but we stretch the truth or we kind of don't say the whole truth. So that is part of lies. But of course, God is truth. Jesus is complete truth. The third thing that God hates is a person who sheds innocent blood. And I'm sure there's no murderers that are here this morning. But Jesus even says if you hate somebody, you have murdered them. And a lot of times as Christians, I think we have this, maybe not a full out hatred, but there's this real hurt or there's this real kind of feeling of annoyance. You're annoyed with somebody. And it's really bordering on the hate. The fourth thing that God mentions is somebody who comes up with wicked schemes, ungodly schemes, not being honest at work. When I was working a job and in the sales end of things, there are so many sales guys that would fudge on their expense accounts and stuff. So they have these evil schemes. They do things that are not honoring to God. The fifth thing that God hates is running to evil. We run to somebody who runs to do things that is wrong. And we know people like that. And at times we're that way as well. We end up kind of, we're searching after something. We find out, oh, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? Why am I thinking this way? The sixth thing that God mentions is a gossiper. Somebody who is gossiping. And praise God that Jesus wasn't a gossiper. If there was anybody that can say a lot of stuff about us, it's God, isn't it? He knows all of our shortcomings. And he doesn't go around and tell everybody about that. You know, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins. I think as Christians, oftentimes we allow our wicked hearts to kind of ruin. We start gossiping and tearing down other Christians and their characters. And a lot of times with gossip, too, I find when I'm involved in it or when I have to deal with it, that a lot of times gossip, it's usually never completely truthful. There's usually some lies that are mixed in with that. But let's just say that something is truthful and you know something about somebody else. Other people don't need to know that, but we end up sharing things with people and we'll kind of Christianize it and say, oh, yeah, well, I want to tell you this, but you need to be praying about this. When we really look at it, a lot of times we're tearing down other people's character. Jesus is not that way. And the seventh thing is that God hates is sowing discord among the brethren. And there's gossip ends up sowing discord immediately. The other thing that ends up happening is we think that our opinion is the most important opinion. And so we'll end up kind of trying to build people up with our opinion so they can be against this other group that's there. And, you know, that is not godly. So all of us as Christians are struggling with trying to be more Christ-like. But I think a lot of times we don't take a look at our sin because we think we're managing it, or we compare our sin with other sins that we think is actually worse than what we're struggling with. But here we have a portion of Scripture that tells us that these sins God absolutely hates. Now, God hates all sin, but these ones he specifically mentioned in Scripture. And I think we struggle with this area in our lives as God's people. Sometimes it's just one area, but sometimes it's multiple areas. The good thing about us that we're aware of this is that God has his word to guide us into how we can become more like Jesus Christ. This is why we need to be in the Word of God often. The Second Peter, if you want to hold your finger at First or in John, the Book of John, but Second Peter, chapter 1. Here is progressive sanctification. We need to be putting on the characters of Christ. Second Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be ever more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. God has told us that he has given us the great gift of salvation. He has redeemed us. He has given us his word so that we can know and understand him. The more knowledge we have of God, the easier it is for us to live out this Christian life. I think a lot of times as Christians, what we do is we take the Bible and we kind of think, okay, I have to do this. And we try to make ourselves be something that we're not, and we're not relying on Christ. We're not relying on the Spirit. The reason why God gave us his Spirit is so that we'll rely on his power to help us to do what God is instructing us to do. It can be a little bit confusing in this Christian life because God instructs us to be doing things and then we're busy doing it. And then we find ourselves realizing that we're doing it in our own power. But I am doing exactly what the Bible tells me to do. But my reliance on doing it is my flesh rather than the Spirit that's in me. as you and I end up learning how to love God. And this is why I want us to be in John here, to be taking a look at what Jesus commands us to do, because the more that we learn to understand the love of the Father, the more we're going to learn to love others, and not just love others to our best, but to love others the way that Jesus loves us. I think if we can get this morning, this is going to help us in our daily walk with Christ to become more like Jesus. When Jesus tells us in verse 34 of John chapter 13, when Jesus says, "A new commandment I give to you." This isn't a suggestion. This isn't try really hard to do this. This is a commandment. You must do this. And what does he say? That you love one another. Now, if he would have stopped there, that would have been okay, because then we could figure out how to do it to our best. But he continues and says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another." You know, Jesus gave us two commandments. First of all, to love God first, and then to love others. If you and I can focus on a relationship with loving God, what we'll automatically start doing is, as we understand more of God's love and we are living this out by faith, what will end up happening is God will motivate us to be loving other people. So then God is actually loving people through us, rather than for us to make up lists and decide to, okay, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Because what we'll end up doing is we'll end up failing. But if we're relying solely and wholly upon the Word of God and the Spirit of God, God can use us to be a blessing to others, not seeing our love, but really what we want them to see is we want them to see Christ's love. Because Jesus loves us, we can love others. What glorifies God the most is himself. Look at verse 32. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. If you truly want to please God and you want God to be glorified in your life, we need to be thinking about it this way. The only thing that really pleases God is when he sees himself in us. Now, it's only because we are Christians, that we are saved, that we have the Holy Spirit in us, that we could even act like Jesus Christ. But it's the times that we are acting like Jesus Christ is when the Father is most pleased with us, because he's not seeing us, but he's seeing himself in us that's being worked out. This is why Jesus commands us to love others, but then he adds to that, oh, and by the way, yes, love others just like I love you. I think a good study for us to look at is, you know what we should do? We should take a look at how Jesus loves me. We're not going to go there this morning because I want to stay in this text here. But if we wanted to, we could go in the book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. In fact, 1 John 4 tells us that God is love, and we can do a study on love. If we wanted to go through the love chapter in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and be obedient to the actions of love and ask God to strengthen us to live out the scriptures of what love really is, that would be a great study. If we wanted to learn about having the character of God so that we're loving people through a godly character, we can go to Galatians chapter 5 and go through the fruit of the Spirit and understand how God is wanting us to have, what kind of character he wants us to have, so that we can be loving people with a godly character. And if you just wanted to type in one another's in the Bible, in the New Testament, the book of John, Romans, Ephesians, 1 Thessalonians, Hebrews, 1 Peter, 1 and 2 John, you can go through a study to really have a better understanding of what love is, God's love, and then how God has instructed us to love. But really, Jesus has already said a lot to his disciples right now. Before he came and said the statement, to love one another as I have loved you, right in chapter 13 of John, Jesus has already given a lot of examples of his love towards his disciples. If you want to just look back in verses 1 to 5 of John chapter 13. The thing I love about Jesus' teaching is so oftentimes he gives an example and then he teaches something. I think a lot of times as Christians, we don't necessarily learn everything just by hearing or reading. Sometimes we have to see it lived, being lived out. And Jesus was the best teacher. And here Jesus is an example of what he's going to ask his disciples to do. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose up from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Jesus was giving an example of love of service towards his disciples. And we can kind of read this and kind of think, well, that's kind of odd that he would end up doing this. But in the culture, what Jesus was really showing is that he was a servant. Because in the culture at that day, when the person that would be washing people's feet would be a slave of the household. So in other words, if you're looking at a worldly kind of most important person, the least important person was the one that washed the feet of the people that would come into the house. And Jesus took on that role to his disciples, and he was washing their feet, showing them a love of being a servant to them and meeting their needs. You know, maybe there's something that you would say that, oh, you know, I just don't enjoy doing this. Don't be surprised if God would put something on your heart to minister to somebody else that you thought you would never end up doing. Don't be surprised if God will give you an idea to do something for somebody else that you know that this isn't your idea, because you wouldn't choose to actually do this. But God's actually burdening your heart to be able to show love towards a person, to be able to meet their needs. That's why even as spiritual leaders in the church, the best spiritual leader in the church is somebody that is willing to serve, willing to do whatever is needed to be done. Part of being a servant, it helps you to stay humble. I don't know about you, but I think a lot of times I think too highly of myself. If there's anybody that could think very highly of himself, it would have been Jesus. But Jesus put himself in positions where he proved his humbleness. He proved his servanthood. In fact, Jesus even said about ministry, I came to serve and not to be served. What a great way to love somebody. Spouses, what a great way to love your spouse. Does your spouse know that you're there to meet their needs? That you are wanting to be used of God to make their life easier? That kind of a love, there is substance to that type of love. Because it's so much more than just words. There's actually actions that are connected to those words, I love you. Sometimes those are the easiest words to say, is I love you. But the hardest thing to do is to work out that love in a way that is serving and proving to others that it's really not you that's loving. It's God doing a work in your heart, and you're so captivated by His love that you are starting to just love others as Jesus loves others. You know, Jesus exposed Jesus talks about one of His disciples betraying Him in verse 21. If you want to just turn there, verse 21 to verse 27. When Jesus had said these things, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." Then the disciples looked at one another, perplexed about whom He spoke. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of His disciples, whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore mentioned to Him and asked who it was of whom He spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to Him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is He to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it." And having dipped the bread, He gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered Him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." What a great example of Jesus even loving the one that's going to betray Him, Judas. And it wasn't only here, is it? I mean, Jesus knew exactly what Judas was going to do, but Jesus still loved Judas. And then when Judas sold him out, and then he's bringing the soldiers to come and get Jesus, what is Jesus' response to the one that betrayed Him and sold Him out? "Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss?" Maybe there's some people in your life that aren't treating you properly. Maybe there is some things that they have said that have hurt you. Maybe there's some things that they're doing that they're actually going against you. You know, the greatest way to show God's love is to show God's love when it doesn't make sense. Just like Jesus did here. There's a time in my life where I had a boss that, and he said he was a Christian, but his lifestyle of a Christian was so different than a Christian's lifestyle. In fact, because he came later, so I was already witnessing to the people in my workplace, and everyone else was all excited. "Oh, David, you're going to be excited. He's a Christian, and he's a singer, and he travels all over, and he sings places, and oh, you're going to really love him." And so he came, and all of a sudden we start finding out fairly quickly that there's a vast difference between his lifestyle and my lifestyle. When we went out with the sales team, and all of a sudden he's sitting there drinking, and not just drinking, he's getting drunk. But they knew where I stood with that. So what ended up happening is there ended up being this friction in our relationship, because even the unsaved people in the workplace were even asking him, "How come you're so different than David? David's..." So what ends up happening, him and I end up having this friction in this relationship. And God ends up blessing the sales and that. And then he pulls me into the office and he says, "You know what, I'm restructuring your commission." And so at that time, I had 70% of my salary was commission and 30% was on just a straight salary. And so he restructured my commissions and it took 40% of my income away from me. And it happened just overnight. And in my mind, I knew why he was doing this. Because he's sending a message to me. And so I went home and I said to my wife, "You know, that's it. I'm going to look for a different job. I'm going to go to the competitors. I'm going to be able to take business away and I'll prove to him or show him that he can't do this to me." And then my wife, who is so godly, asked me one question. "Have you prayed about this? Does God want you to stay?" And I started praying, and God took me the scriptures about my authorities, and He's the one that placed authorities in my life. It's not them. And God wants to teach me something through this. And it was one of the toughest things that I've had to do. But I had to choose to actually love him. And it's through that process of me learning how to love somebody that actually is trying to make your life miserable is really when I started understanding more of the Father's love for me. Because the love that God gives us, we are undeserving of that. I mean, he doesn't love us because we do everything right. He loves us because he is right and he's making us right. And I thought, oh, okay, good. I'm starting to learning to love. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to learn how to love. And what ends up happening is now in the coffee room, people are complaining about his leadership. And there's, like I said, gossip is partly truth and then partly things that are made up. And so I was finding myself agreeing with the things that are truthful about him in the coffee room. And then all of a sudden God was even convicting me of that. Why are you talking? That's your authority. Why would you say something bad about your authority? I placed him in your life. And if you're going to be unloving towards him, you're actually being unloving towards me. If you're not going to be submitted to him, you're actually not being submitted to me. And I found my choice of love for him end up having to go a little bit deeper. Now, not only am I going to love him and pray for him, but now I'm going to stick up for him. Well, when I started sticking up for him in the coffee room, now it's just tension in the coffee room because they think that I'm all about everything that he does. And I'm not, but I'm not going to tear his character down. I'm not going to be a part of tearing his character down to make God look bad. Because as Christians, you and I are representatives of Christ. So as other people observe our lives, they're going to observe our love. How are we loving people that are around us? God might be allowing something in your life to show you that you can be like Christ in circumstances and situations that seem so unfair that you shouldn't have to go through this. But I think the greatest thing that I learned through that process in that time in my life is I understood God's love towards me. The more you understand about God's love towards you, it just puts everything into perspective. One day we are going to be home. One day these struggles and these battles and these things that are happening here, it's going to be over. But do you want the Father saying to you, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, slave, lover of souls"? God loves us. He so deserves us to love others. The more we end up loving others as Christ loves us, not only do we get a better understanding of the Father's love to us, we get a better understanding of the suffering of Christ as he chose to love others that didn't love him. Jesus exposes Peter's lack of love for himself in verses 36 and 38. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered him, "Where am I going? You cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Why would Jesus love somebody that's going to deny him three times? And it wasn't just Peter that denied him. Really, all of his apostles end up leaving him. There wasn't one apostle that stood up and said, "Hey, you're telling lies about our Savior." There wasn't one that stood up for Jesus because they were so concerned about themselves being killed. But Jesus chose to love his apostles. Jesus chose to love Peter. Aren't we so often like Peter? I mean, we want to be valor. We want to be for Jesus, and we make these big statements, and then there's an opportunity for us to prove it just a little bit, and we kind of shy away from it. Because a lot of times we care more about our perceived character to others than we do about our character towards God. Peter, in front of Jesus, said that he would die for him. When Jesus wasn't there, and Peter wasn't right in front of Jesus, then all of a sudden he caved in to the pressures. You know what I love about the love of God? He never gives up on us, does he? We fail him, and then we fail him, and then we fail him. But he's always consistently there to encourage us and to lift us up. Just like with Jesus. When Jesus was resurrected, who did he ask to have come see him? Peter. Why would Jesus do that? Peter didn't deserve that. But Jesus extended his love to Peter. Is there somebody in your life that doesn't deserve your love? Is God wanting you to love them? Again, he's not relying on you or I to love them. He's relying on himself. Remember, the only thing that pleases him is himself. So when he sees us loving in a way that we know it's not us, it wouldn't be our choice. He knows it's not us, and it's Jesus' love coming through us to others. That is when God is pleased, and that's when God looks at us and says, well done. Have you ever thought about these two verses that Jesus says in verse 34, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another? And then I love how he ends this: by this all will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another, like I have loved you, Jesus says. Do you care about the gospel? Are you passionate about the gospel? Are you thankful for your salvation? One of the greatest opportunities that you and I have to share the gospel is to love others like Jesus loves us. To be put in circumstances and situations where, in a human sense, it makes no sense to love. But we choose to love. What people get exposed to is they get exposed to the love of Christ in us. The only way you can have the love of Christ is you need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You need to be born again. You need to put your faith and trust in the work that Jesus has done for our behalf. God is wanting you to love others like Christ loves us so that he gets glorified. I challenged our men at the men's prayer breakfast. I think if we just, I think there's only about 10 of us that were there that morning. And I said, if just the 10 of us make a decision that we're going to start loving people the way God intends for us to start loving people, it's going to be amazing how the gospel is just going to start spreading. Because what will end up happening is people will start talking about, did you see how so-and-so did this? Why did so-and-so do that? You know, so-and-so said this about them, and they knew about this, and then they went over, and they end up helping and ministering and loving. What we can end up doing is we can be the example of Christ's love to us when God puts us and allows things to be in our lives to be able to do the unthinkable, humanistically speaking. but to do something to show others that God really loves them. There could be people that will end up getting saved because of our love towards others. Think of even just your relationship with your spouse. If you just take your relationship with your spouse and people keep seeing you just loving and loving and loving. Because in the world, they don't see this. They don't see grace. They don't see mercy. Not God's grace and not God's mercy. It's completely opposite of what the world can offer. If you and I would be willing to say, you know what, I want to learn about this love. I want to study about this love. I want God to do work in my life so that I can be the example of Christ's love. It would change souls around you. Not only will it change souls around you, I think as brothers and sisters, we need this encouragement. We need this reminder. We need to realize that this isn't a suggestion from Jesus. This is a command. The reason why Jesus commands this is because he commands the glory of the Father. Jesus did nothing in and of himself. He only did what the Father asked him. Jesus' love was the Father's love. He was the example of the Father's love. Of course, Jesus would want to pass that on to us. Okay, here's a new commandment I give you. You love one another as I have loved you. Because Jesus wants the Father to be glorified in this. The question we need to ask ourselves is, how badly do we truly want the gospel to be known to others around us? And then the other question is, are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you a follower? Are you a believer? Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you realize, you know what? I thought I was a Christian, but my whole heart isn't in, I don't really love the Bible. I don't really love the truth, but I want to know the truth. And I want to know this Jesus. I encourage you, go to the Bible. Find out how God loves you. Do the things he asks you to do to be saved. Believe, put your faith in Jesus Christ. Repent, ask for your forgiveness. And then Christian, maybe you're here this morning. And you're being challenged in this area. I mean, anytime Jesus compares himself to us, we should be challenged. But if there's an area, a specific area, maybe there's a specific person in your life that you're having problems loving, give that up to God. You and I can't do this, but God can. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example of Jesus. Father, his love is so opposite of the world's love. He's so gentle and tender and kind and gracious, merciful, slow to anger. Father, I pray and ask in the name of Jesus Christ that you would help me and my brothers and sisters that are here this morning to honor you and to glorify you. Father, if there's any here this morning that are not saved, they're not born again believers, they're not followers of Jesus Christ, they're not a disciple. Father, I pray you continue to draw them to yourself and that they would talk to somebody today, that they would ask the question of, what do I need to do to be a follower of Jesus, to be born again? Father, again, thank you, thank you, thank you for your love towards us. We are so unworthy to be loved, but you have made us so worthy with the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for purchasing us, for redeeming us, for reconciling us. Thank you for the work that you have done that only you can do in our lives. And Father, fill us with your Spirit. Renew our minds with your word. Help us to walk out this truth, to go from our minds to our hearts. Help us to be obedient, Father. We want to be more like Jesus so that you can be glorified more and more. In the name of Jesus, I pray.